Chef David Chang and the members of the Recipe Club sift through millions of search results to find the very best way to make the food you want to eat. Each week, they cook three recipes for the same dish, debate them, and ultimately declare the winning recipe. Check out Recipe Club on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right, it's official. I think I've discovered the ultimate coupling of all time. Like any good relationship, they really balance each other out. One is super sweet, and the other, well, they can be a little nutty sometimes. It is, of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. So perfect, some would call it true love. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Psst. Hey, I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness from my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
Welcome to Bachelor Party. I'm Juliette Littman. Joined today by friend of the podcast, maybe friend of mine, Jared Freed. Hi, Jared.
I consider you a friend. Hi,
okay,
thank
great.
You for having me. We got to hang in person. We've only Zoomed.
I'd love to. I'm double vaxxed. Are you?
I'm halfway there. I'll be double vaxxed on Monday. So we're taping this on a Thursday and yeah. I'm almost there. So I'm, but it's exciting to be back with you.
I just want to say that once I got my first shot, after about like 5 days, I was like, yeah, I'm good. And I started acting like I was double vaxxed. And I was good. I didn't get COVID. So
there you go.
Not scientific advice, but I did go like a few days later. I was like, cool, I'm ready to go to dinner. And then I like went to a bar too. So I don't know.
Well, I think a lot of this is like getting over certain, you know, we've had a year in one place and now we're supposed to like just open the door and run outside. No, it's not going to be that way. It's going to take certain mental hurdles to get over. I think emotionally we're all just trying to like, you know, trying to move forward a little bit, you know, but everyone's pace is so different, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Jared, I've asked you to join me today because I'm going to do a mailbag and I thought you'd be fun to just go through these questions with. I feel like mailbag's basically your middle name. Jared Mailbag Friedman. Jared Mailbag Freed.
Jared Mailbag Freed. That's me. Good old postal service over here, ready to go. I love a mailbag. I love, you know,
this is what you do kind of on your podcast.
This is, we take, lifestyle and dating advice on the J Train podcast. You were a fantastic guest and, so I love, you know, I love that at least, you know, I love, you know what I love about it in the content creation business is that the people, you know, these people are doing half our jobs. So thank you.
I know. Thank you guys so much. Thank
That's
you guys
the
so
beauty.
Much. I'm just going to warn you. Have you by any chance watched Formula One Drive to Survive on Netflix?
So I took a browse. I perused the questions. Of all the sports Juliette was going to be into, I was like, F1. I was like... And then I just imagined you like in Monaco with like an espresso. Yeah, like I was like, maybe she's this classy. Like, I don't know why F1 and class kind of like.
It is very classy. You're correct.
Okay, they go together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just imagined you with a little tiny espresso in a piazza, just like, you know, dressed immaculately. And I was like, wow, like good for Juliette.
Okay, so two things. First of all, you think that because the most famous F1 race is the Monaco Grand Prix, which is coming up in May. I have been to Monaco. It is the fucking weirdest place I've ever been. It's kind of like, have you ever been to the south of France?
I just the phrase south of France, it has such a connotation, like just hearing you say, have you just the question, have you ever been to the south of France? Oh no, I haven't, Juliette. It's been a minute since I've been to the south of France. But
I've been.
Okay, well, what got you there and why
vacation.
Is it so weird? Oh, just vacation. You were just like,
yeah,
was it was an adult like, vacation or a child
yeah
vacation?
I went with one of my best friends. We're like, let's go to the south of France, and we went.
Awesome.
It was awesome. I'd love to go back. And we stayed in this town city called Antibes, which is where a lot of yachts have like their changeover. We just stayed at an Airbnb. We weren't like on a yacht or anything.
Okay. What's an Airbnb out there like? Are they?
Oh my God, Jared. France, I think, has the best Airbnbs, like per capita or whatever. Like the Airbnb I stayed in Paris like 5.5 years ago, I think about frequently.
So I have questions that come off of the questions that I've already asked, but I'm not an Airbnb guy. I would always opt for hotel because what happens is
you want to have your bed made. Okay.
I want my bed made, but I think I'm bad at choosing Airbnbs. It always ends up that I'm like, the house is good, but I'm in an area where I'm like, I don't want the key to be in a fake rock outside. Do you know what I mean?
I recently learned about the hide a key rock, which is what you're referring to. And does everyone, like, it's just sort of like, what's the point of using it when everyone knows that there's a key in there? So it's like, it's not hiding anything. It's just like asking for a thief to come open your door.
Yeah. And now they have the big locks. Now they have a padlock shaped one that you can do a number in and it opens up and a key is inside. It's all just like those old toys you'd get at, like, you know, in the coin operated machines. Like,
yeah,
they were just
like,
you like
try to get the crane thing to pick it up and it's impossible and you just lose all of your money as a 10-year-old. Yeah, I know. I've
exactly.
Been there. So
you go to the South of France. Yeah.
I went to the South of France. And you can take the train there. The South of France has an awesome railway that you can just go from like town to town. The towns are so cute. Honestly, I would go. It's an amazing, amazing place to visit. It's just so beautiful. If you like swimming in the Mediterranean, it's amazing. And you can just take the train into Monaco. But the really funny thing is, like, if you have Verizon, you can use your cell phone plan. And in Europe, it's like $10 a day or whatever. And you have full service. But then you get to Monaco and like you have no service at all. It's like you enter Monaco and everything is like incredibly expensive. It's like, oh, you'd like a bottle of water? Okay, $7, please. Oh, you'd like to have dinner? Okay, $30 minimum, please. And then they have like, you know, the casinos and like in Casino Royale or whatever, Monte Carlo. And it's like not even that cool, but it's just so weird because it's kind of like going to like a high-end mall, but it's like it's an entire principality. And they're still obsessed with Princess Grace of Monaco. And it's just a crazy place. It's so expensive. No one lives there. It's a tax haven. And it's known for F1. And the reason there are all these F1 questions on this list is because I watched Formula One Drive to Survive, the Netflix show, and I fucking love it. And then I became a Formula One fan because it's like, it's just like housewives meet sports in the South of France and like so all, and international.
That's what I was going to ask. What's the premise of Drive to Survive? It's just people around it. It's basically like...
No, it's even better. It's kind of like Hard Knocks, but for Formula One with way more access and every team. It's great. Jared, watch it. It's great.
And to get in there,
the guys are hot,
obviously.
That's another
piece
of this.
Well, F1 racers, they're gorgeous. They're like, and they're little.
Yeah. Well, yes, not all of them. Daniel Ricciardo, not little. My favorite, as I've discussed in this podcast, is the GM of Mercedes. His name is Toto Wolff. Yeah, he's great.
Good old Toto.
He's Austrian.
I'm not sure if this question, you know, do people who get into F1 races, are they rich?
Yes. It's sort of like a privileged person sport, but not everyone. One of the reasons Lewis Hamilton is so special is because he was not privileged, but like his dad sacrificed a lot for him to get into karting. And then he was like a prodigy. So he rose up in the ranks and he's incredible. Just do a deep dive on Lewis Hamilton. It's just a couple of facts. He sang on a Christina Aguilera song in 2018, but waited until 2020 to admit that it was him. He dated Nicole Scherzinger for 7 years. He's the best Formula One driver of all time. He's friends with your favorite celebrity, and your favorite celebrity loves Lewis. Like, he's just incredible. He was knighted last year. He's really incredible. While we're on this topic, let's just hit some of these F1 mailbag questions.
Let's hit it. Okay, you lead the way because I'm a novice to this world.
I appreciate your questions. And by the way, Monaco, I just want to say it's like if the Grove or the Americana, the malls in Los Angeles, were like principalities, like a sovereign country. That's what it would be like.
I kind of imagine is like the nice part of Park Avenue. You're like, what am I doing? You know, like
Park Avenue has way more people in one block than probably all of Monaco. There's no one there. They just hide their money there. Yeah. And then Formula One drivers live there. That's it.
I mean, I would love to just go to have an espresso. I love sitting out and having coffee. Like it feels like the right place to
do that. A thing to do. It's a Cafe de Paris, which people like do that there. It's just, just go for a day. If you're there on your yacht, you can stay longer. Anyway,
listen,
check it out.
I'm going. I'm booking my tickets right now. Getting that.
Right. Okay. Emily asks, am I planning to watch all the F1 races live this year? Who do you think could be the next breakout star? Also, who is the worst guy in F1 and why is it Max? I agree it's Max. Jared, there's this guy in Formula One named Max Verstappen. He's like the second best driver. Maybe he's like pressing Lewis for the championship this year. Max took, there's only two people per team. Max took someone's spot on the team and then he like basically dropped out of relevance and then stole his girlfriend with whom this guy had a wife. So Max is an absolute villain. Yeah.
I mean, and he's also not the one that worked his way up and had the dad sacrifice stuff. Like, you know, he came from...
He's a jerk like, Dutch white kid. Yeah, I don't care for him. Am I planning to watch all the races live this year? As many as I can. And I was recently driving and the race was on. And I was like, oh, I'll just listen while I drive. And like listening to driving while you're driving is a weird, funny experience. Recommend it.
I would feel like it would amp you up. Maybe a little too much.
It made me kind of nervous. I was like, am I getting in a crash or is someone else getting in a crash?
Well, I have to say, I'm living in the land of positivity. I think we're going to have a fun summer. I think the world's going to open up. And I think, can I add an element to this for you? You should have an F1 viewing party where you dress up like you're in Monaco.
Like, it's a great idea.
Isn't
Let's
that
do
a
it.
Great idea? Like,
yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun? Like,
yeah,
hey,
it's like a derby party.
Yeah, derby party, except you'll have an actual interest in it and you have a knowledge of it and you can tell people, to prepare for it, watch the series. People give them something to do. And then everyone can wear their like white linen pants and, you know, really tight button downs and like comb their hair.
You're describing Dick Van Dyke when they go into the painting in Mary Poppins right now.
That's right. Everyone put on your best Dick Van Dyke and join me for the Monaco F1 race party. Like, I think that's a fun idea.
I like it. I like it, too. I need someone to loan me a rooftop, I think. I've been to the Kentucky Derby, by the way. That's fun as well.
That is fun?
A different time. Yeah, it's really fun on the infield. Yes, it was very fun. Okay.
I've done a Kentucky Derby party, like, at a bar, and it's always not... what it should be. You're very much aware that this is way less classy than what's really going on.
A lot of the derby is really not classy. If you're in the infield, it's like muddy and just people smuggling in booze because it's so expensive. And like, I don't know. I went during college. It was fun. Let's move on. Jordan asked, if the future of Bachelor Party is iffy, given everything going on with the franchise, would you be willing to reimagine it as rewatchable as reality TV and do deep dives on old seasons of Housewives and Survivor? Number one, the future's not that iffy. I'm going to keep doing this podcast. We'll see how it goes. But they announced today that Katie's season will be starting in June. I'm so excited about that. Thank you for it not being May.
That is
June 7th. I'm so relieved. I needed some more time to recover from the debacle of Matt. June 7th for Katie. And I want to say, you got to check out her promo. Did you watch the Hannah Brown season while it was happening?
Of course.
Do you remember her opening promo? She's like walking through like a magical forest. Wearing,
I do
like,
remember that.
Okay. Like how much?
Snow White-ish.
Yeah. How much would you guess that cost to make that 1 minute video?
It felt like it was very, a lot.
Yeah.
Right? It looked very Disney-fied. And it looked like they were just like... Now thinking back, it's like they were like, I wonder if there was like a windmill in the background somewhere. Like, were they hinting at something? Like, you know, were there Easter eggs like in a Marvel promo? You know, like it is interesting that she ended up having that windmill moment and having that, you know, that whole promo. But so what is Katie's?
Well, give me a dollar price. How much do you think that cost?
For Hannah's?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know how much these things cost. I would think maybe $1 million.
No, not a million. I was going to say like up to $100,000. I bet a lot. I mean, probably not that much, but just the marketing budget. I'm sure it was very expensive. Katie's looked like it cost like $10 and they just like did it inside like some closet wherever they are in New Mexico. I was just like, okay, she's not getting the royal treatment here, but so be it. It's Katie. Whatever.
Do you think that's because she was a pageant person that it like changes what the investment is?
I think they're just like not ready for this. Like, I just think that this is all moving really fast. And I don't know. It's a really awkward 7 second like video GIF kind of thing. It sort of looks like, did you ever watch Model Mission on MTV back in the day? It was part of their spring break programming. It was like hosted by Molly Sims and it was like when they did spring break. And so it was like all these like just regular people wherever they were. And she was like, here's $100. Go to the mall and like buy an outfit. And like, well, we're going to grade you like a model. It looks like Katie dressed herself based on Molly Sims's budget for her from like 1997. So poor Katie. I'm just going in.
I'm excited for Katie's season. I think it's going to be
great. Did you like her?
I liked her. I'm a fan of hers. She's somewhat of a fan, I think. She likes the Bachelor live scream, which is like,
wow,
I'm always going to be.
Self-dap. Nice.
That I'll give it to myself. And she, I just like that she did difficult things that maybe, you know, it felt like she took difficult routes and kind of over the course of the season that a lot of people wouldn't have taken, like just to admit mistakes. Like, I think it's hard to admit mistakes on TV because, you know, a lot of times people will just hold that over you for the rest of your life. So you have to be okay with that. So I'm a fan of hers in that sense.
Okay. Yeah. I hope she'll be good. I don't know.
What do you think about it?
I'm still detoxing. No, I liked her, but then I was just like, the other girls don't seem to like her. And I do think that very frequently how the other women in the house feel about you is a pretty good indicator of like, if you're cool or not, or not cool, but like, if you're like a good person or whatever. So that gave me some pause, but I mean, I guess I'm excited about her. I don't know. It's just like, I have a lot of scar tissue from this matching season.
I'm with you. Like, I don't know who to believe in that scenario. Like, to me, when I saw it on the reunion and they were kind of like, there was like this anti-Katie thing, you know, going on. I was like, are they mad that she's the star? Like that she kinda came out of this?
I think they were
this?
Mad. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know if that's because she sucked or because they suck, you know, like in that scenario. Like, I don't know whose side to take because both arguments could work, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Totally. I don't know either, but I guess we'll find out. I think there's just like probably a lot of just residual bad feelings from that whole thing. Anyway, Katie, June 7th. And then Paradise is on August 16th.
It's coming at us fast, but I'm happy for the break. I do want to ask you, would you do a rewatchables for a season? Do you think that makes sense to do?
I've been rewatching some old Challenge. I've not gone back to old Bachelor. I watched a lot of it last year when I ranked all the seasons, and some of it, I don't feel like it's worth watching a whole season. I feel like you should like dip in and out for like good episodes and like good breakdowns or whatever. I don't think it's worth it to the whole season. I mean, unless you haven't seen it and like maybe you're just like addicted, but I don't know. I enjoy watching old Housewives, which Jordan asked about. I don't know about The Bachelor, but watching old Housewives is really fun because kind of like a time capsule in a more fun way of just like what was lavish in 2008 or whatever.
I went back and watched the first two or three seasons of New York.
Oh, I did that too. The beginning of the pandemic a year ago. It was awesome.
I did the same exact thing. And I thought that was the most interesting thing to watch as far as, because now knowing that, what's her name? Skinny girl, Margarita.
Bethany,
knowing that she's like rich enough to be a shark on Shark Tank. Like if you watch through that lens, you're like, wow.
You're like, Bethany, you were in the Food Emporium, just like handing out free stuff. And
exactly.
Now you're on Shark Tank.
And I had
Food Emporium's gone.
She outlasted the Food Emporium. I had a real respect for her. Like, and I kind of, you know, people were like Team Jill, Team Bethany. And I was like, how, watching back from this angle, I was like, how could you not respect the business that she created? She's in a one bedroom New York City apartment with no windows, sitting at a table eating dinner. You're like, what?
I know. It was really, and then she was like really upset about Jason number one. And then, you know, Kelly Bensimone joined so quickly and Kelly was so batty. Rewatching Kelly is really funny. Of course, the iconic running scenes where she's just like stopping Fifth Avenue traffic with her fucking running. But it was a really fun rewatch. I definitely recommend that.
Yeah, that's fun. I think that it would have to be a very special beginning, middle and end. Like you would have to know exactly, like I guess like, I like stopped at Scary Island, I think. That was like my last.
Season three.
Yeah. That's like when I was like, okay, I like the originals. I'm done here. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no coming back with Ramona after Scary Island. In retrospect, it's like that's when it all changed with Ramona. And I now hate her. So there's that.
There's that.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. You often tell us who you don't want to see on Paradise. Can you tell us the top people you'd actually like to see on Paradise in the past three seasons? Who would I actually like to see on Paradise? You know, one thing that's been discussed is if Becca, formerly of Becca and Garrett, should go on Paradise. Curious what you think about that, Jerry. Did you watch her season?
I watched her season. And I mean, her season, the prelude to her season is the Ari thing that like I can't believe we don't talk about that every day. Like,
I think
that
I think about it all the time.
It's a wild ending to a season. And, you know, Becca kind of got like, you know, she kind of got like, you know, thrown around the ship by this whole franchise. I don't know why she would want to, but I wouldn't mind seeing her. I don't think she was like the best bachelorette of all time.
I think she'd be more fun now. She's been through it. You know, she got dumped by Ari in this like an incredibly brutal two box, amazing television, terrible for a human event. She lived through the Trump presidency with a, like, you know, a right wing fiance who seemed to like take a heel turn. And now she's like a fun and flirty podcast host that people speculate might be dating Emmanuel Acho. So I'm just like, that. Okay, really? Becca, let's see you in Paradise.
I feel like I'm coming to you for all the tea. Like, I had no idea that this was a thing. Good for her. Do you think that's a step down?
Definitely.
When a former batch, like the lead is, and that was the thing about Paradise. I'm going to be into Paradise this season, but I never got into it. But the one thing.
Oh, you're going to love it, man.
Yeah. I've heard everyone loves it. And
it's better.
The one thing that was very apparent to me was like the leveling of the people on the show.
Well,
like you could tell that they level each other. Like that you could tell that there's like this, like,
well, it's all about screen time. It's like, are you going to get me past 1 million followers? Are you going to get me that Revolve sponsorship? So,
yeah, it's interesting to watch them. Like they're looking for mergers. You're right. That's basically what they're looking for. So like someone like that comes on.
It's like
on
the A-Rod and J-Lo. It's like, how do we augment our businesses and maybe find love? Which, like, you know, as long as you don't sully my name by dragging Madison from Southern Charm into it, sounds like a good arrangement, perhaps. I don't know. What do you need to get married for? You guys are in your 50s. It's fine. You have kids already. Just live lives together. That seems fine.
I don't know. Madison from Southern Charm dragged into this.
I feel bad for J-Lo. She deserves so much better. Who else would be good on Paradise? You know, I think that I would like to see Ed on Paradise. I just feel like he would add a lot. And I think he'd stay up late talking to Wells, the bartender, which I'd really enjoy.
And Ed really wants to go on Paradise. Like, nobody would be more pumped to go on. Having met him and seeing his Instagram, and I feel like Ed is the one putting together the boys' trips. Like, it does feel like he's like making sure these are happening.
Okay, so over the weekend, there was the boys' trip in New York. And it was like...
Was it New York or Nashville? Oh, no, there were dueling boys' trips.
Yeah. There were? Oh, my God. I only saw the New York one. The New York one featured Ivan, Damar, Jordan, Jason. I want Jason in Paradise. Jason, the offensive lineman. He seems great.
He seems great. I love him. Yeah. Pilot Pete,
Dustin, who's been on this podcast, who I just think is very hot. Dr. Joe. Brendan's like staying with Dr. Joe like every weekend, seemingly, like just traveling down from the Boston area, stay with his boy. And they like all played basketball indoors. One thing that I contend, Pilot Pete, don't play sports, man. It's clearly not a fit for you. That's fine. You've got other strengths. You're a pilot. All of those guys, I feel like, would be fine in Paradise. I've been very anti Ivan and Joe going to Paradise, but now that I taking in all the boys trip content, I'm just like, okay, I suppose, fine.
I mean, the other boys trip was Blake Horseman. He was in Nashville. There was a group of them there.
Paradise ruined Blake's life, so it's not good.
He just came on my podcast recently.
Tell me about that. What'd you learn?
He was really nice. And the Paradise thing, I had forgotten that whole storyline. But he gave good advice, and he was very empathetic and personable. And I actually like talking to him. Like I interviewed him as well.
I liked him. He was a nice guy. He should not have posted the text message with Kaylin. That was both a violation and very immature.
Sure.
but also be less of a fuckboy, man. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's a, when you get into like clearing your name for being a fuckboy, but you're kind of, you are, you're like, no, I'm not that fuckboy, I'm this fuckboy. That's when you're into like, okay, you don't have to release these things. Like,
Yeah. It's just like, nah, it's not a great look. But I don't think Blake should go back to Paradise. It just was too hard on him. But from some of these women, I'd like to see Chelsea. That'd be great.
I'd like to see Chelsea. I also want to see Brittany. I want her comeback story.
I'd like Brittany to find love. She deserves it.
I liked her. And like the way she came in to Matt James's season, like she walks in, she gives this strong kiss. Like she basically like takes the, she's like, we're going to first base right now. And I was like, this, I was like, this is great. I loved her. Like just her presence. And then all that shit comes out, or the rumors start swirling, and she did turn into a different person. I want to see her come back as that confident woman that walked in. Like, I hope she gets redemption.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think Anna would actually be a very good Paradise character, but like, I'm not sure she deserves it. She was not good to Brittany. Yeah.
Yeah.
She'd be a good Paradise character. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I think so too. And plus her facial reactions. Like I just need,
that's
more
what would be good for
that.
She'd be like, yeah. Like she would, I'm making a face like Anna right now, where she'd like be stunned when people like walked off together.
Yeah, she'd be great for that.
Mia asked, who are our top three ships for this season of Paradise? Another good question. I'm not good at pairing people up. Like, it's just like not something I can really see.
I'm with you. And I get kind of annoyed by the, like everyone's doing the Bennett and
Kelly.
Kit.
Oh.
Well, Bennett and Kit, people are matching up because they're both rich, like, supposedly.
Snooty from New York, yes, supposedly. Yeah.
And so it's an interesting, like, I'm like, I get the joke. I get what you're trying to do. But like, the more people push them together, I'm like, why do you care so much about them hooking up? Like, the two rich people, supposedly. Like, I don't care, you know? Like,
swing your bag and you find a rich person anyway. And apparently where they hang out. Bennett, one of his videos was from the Oculus in Manhattan, which is like the mall at the site of Ground Zero. And I just can't think of anything lamer in terms of like putting together your content. He was wearing, it was like a Justin Bieber Peaches dance video. I don't know. I'm like so old. I can't keep up with this stuff. But I was just like, why are you doing this at the empty Oculus? It's like very strange. And I don't know anyone like from New York or really the Northeast who's like, yeah, I really got to go to the Oculus. Unless like their office is nearby and they want to do some shopping while they're on their lunch break.
I'm with you. Bennett, I like. He's been nothing but nice to me. And he's like taken every joke I've made about him in stride. So I always respect that.
Shouts to Bennett.
Shout out to Bennett because he's a great guy. But his social media presence is like, it's like my
just put
dad.
Put the phone down.
Yeah, like it's like my dad was told, like heard of influencers and was just like, okay, I'll give it a try. Like, he seems like he's from another. He makes me, because we're around the same age. So it's like, he makes me feel old. Like, when he does stuff.
Totally. Yeah. I know. I'm just, he makes me feel old, but also like, it makes himself seem young in like a bad way. It's not like, it's just weird. I don't know.
It doesn't seem authentic to the place he is in life. And if he is in that place in life, you would go, what have you been doing the last 10 years?
He works in finance, Jared. He's been busy.
I know. Very busy. The busiest.
This episode is brought to you by Priceline. When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place, whether it's the beach, ski slopes, couples getaway, or even a visit to that best friend you haven't seen in way too long. And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price so you never have to miss a trip. For me, my happy place is in the Mediterranean. I think I've mentioned that. Maybe it's why I like Love Island so much, because they're right by the Mediterranean. But I just love the feeling of being in the sea, and it's just a great sea. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group. When one person from the squad travels, everyone gets more deals. And you even get to choose your crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. It could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save. And for me, I'd love to go on a trip to the Mediterranean with friends. In fact, I might be doing that in the near future. I have done it before, and it was really some of the most fun I've ever had. I went to Sicily. We had some great swimming there, me and my friends. Anyway, if you want to have a similar experience, download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy price with Priceline. This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right, it's official. I think I've discovered the ultimate coupling of all time. Like any good relationship, they really balance each other out. One is super sweet, and the other, well, they can be a little nutty sometimes. It is, of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. So perfect, some would call it true love. Find Reese's now at a store near you. This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. eBay knows that when it comes to jewelry, authenticity is the real gem. When you see the blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, it means your next piece will be carefully inspired by jewelry experts and will always be worth its weight in gold. Whether you're looking to make a statement or build the perfect everyday look, eBay is making sure you get the real deal. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that jaw-dropping piece will always arrive jaw-droppingly real. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Next, you might have some good insight into this. Why does no one ever eat on dates? Andrea has asked. What do you think?
I have a few theories on this.
Okay.
I think they, like if I was, I always put myself in the position, I wouldn't want, just any dating scenario where you go to a dinner date, if it's a first date through third date, you're not going on the date starving. Like,
no.
You kind of want to look like a normal, you want to look like a better version of yourself. So,
okay, until you have like three or four drinks and you're like, fuck, I'm starving. And then you're like, what can I order?
Then I used to have two dinners. I would get home and order again. So like, I do understand that like, it's not just a first date, but it's a first date on TV that you're just like, I can't even eat. I'm so nervous. I don't want to look, you know, I don't want the picture of me with like a nacho in my mouth. Like, I do understand the not eating thing. And I understand the idea that I got to assume there's some sort of craft service table.
Oh, absolutely. Snacks. Yeah.
That they know that is
protein
waiting
shakes
for them.
If you're Matt. Yeah,
totally. Like, and it's like, you know, when you have something in your fridge at home and you're like, it's in the, I know it's there, so I don't have to go crazy here. I think they're doing a lot of that. They're like, okay, there's pretzels on the craft service. I'll get them after once Matt's out of the room. Like I think it goes all ways, male, female, anything.
Question. What is the one food that if you were on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette and you were on a date and they put it in front of you, you simply would not be able to not eat, no matter the number of cameras around you?
I mean, I would crush a fried calamari. anything appetizer, like anything shared plates. Like I dance around the shared plates section of a menu. Like I go too far. Like if I'm on the date, no, one of these, one of those, one of these. Like I would be... But a fried calamari, for some reason, it's the first thing that came to mind. I don't know why. Like Rhode Island style with the peppers.
What's
like
Rhode Island style?
With hot peppers, with banana
peppers.
Never
heard of it.
Never heard of it?
No.
Oh, my God. I mean, you're in the Cape. You don't know.
I've never heard of it.
Rhode Island style fried calamari. I wouldn't be able to stop myself. There's like anything that would be like, you ever go to a place and they have like interesting shared plates and you're like, we got to try it. They're putting it out. Like I would just order a lot of shared plates.
I used to do a food podcast and I sat on that pod that like my ideal meal is just like is dips and dessert. It's just like, I love a dip. I would not be able to resist probably. I really like nachos, chili nachos.
Okay.
And I also really like mozzarella sticks, but I don't see myself taking the plunge with cameras in front of my face. Cause it's kind of like messy and dirty, but,
You couldn't do nachos.
Nachos is a no. Queso, I would go spoon only and no chip. So there's like no chance of it dripping, but I would like take a spoon into the queso into my mouth.
On the show?
I think it would be hard for me to resist.
That is the surprising moment of this whole podcast. So you'd be on The Bachelor. Hey, Matt, nice to meet you. You pick up a spoon without acknowledging it.
No, it would be like it would be a few drinks in. You'd just be like, there's queso in front of you. And I'd be like, fuck, I just really want to taste that. I'm just being honest. I'm just telling you.
I appreciate the honesty. I'm not shaming the move. I'm like, how does this happen? You know, like, you're just like, would you say like, I got to eat it with a spoon because I don't want to get it on myself.
Yeah, like,
how would
I'd be like, I just really want to taste that. I'm just going to taste it. And that's what would happen.
Well, that's the other thing. I wouldn't be able to not have the food in front of it.
It would be like, too awkward to not have it. Also, part of this outdoor dining experience in the last few months is when I go out to eat with someone and I see the person's like, you know, we're just having such great conversation that they don't touch their food. Yeah. I get really anxious. I'm like, I've literally been like, time out, done the timeout sign with my hands. I'm like, your food's going to get cold. And it really stresses me out when people don't eat the food in front of them if it's like at risk of going to waste. So I would have a hard time as well.
Are you talking about like on a date situation?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay,
so you go on a date. Let's say, what is your order style on a date? How are you doing it? First date. Let's put COVID stuff aside. Your perfect first date. How's the ordering going? How do you want that to happen?
It's a great question. I mean, does there have to be food involved or is it like you're just getting drinks?
You're going to, this is a first dinner date. How do you want the order to go?
I think a shared first plate to see like what your sharing vibe is like. How much do you share? What do you think is appropriate food for sharing? Like what is a share plate? What is not? And then...
See to me, like before you go on, the fun of a first date or the first dinner date is discussing which shared
what
plate
to
you're
order.
Gonna,
sure.
What are we gonna do? What jumps out at you? What jumps out at me? Oh my God, we thought the same thing. Like that's a very shared.
It's great.
That's
like oh my God, I also just have to try this queso. Oh my God.
I also eat it with a spoon. No chips,
two
spoons.
If you want to just taste it, chip would get really dirty and become a two-hand situation.
I get it. I'm on your side. I'm like totally on board. My dad's the king of like our family getting clams and sauce and then drinking the sauce that the clams come in with a spoon. Like he's
sure
that's a move. He's
a move.
Known
it's like,
for
it's like with mussels when you're just like
yeah mussels. That's what I meant.
Well, there's also clams that come in sauce. But yeah, mussels, like as much bread as possible. Just bring it over. So I can just throw it in there. All the bread.
Let it sop. I'm a chef now, too.
The real thing about The Bachelor that's really unrealistic is that you can tell if a date's going well by if the other person wants to order dessert, right? Like if you're all in on dessert, it's like, let's prolong this. We never get the chance to see on The Bachelor if they want to order dessert. And like, I would love for there to be a dessert test. That would be great.
I think that's part going back to the episode we last did where we made changes.
Yeah.
One of the major changes, I want to see them discuss a menu.
Yeah. They need to go to the Cheesecake Factory and make it as long as possible to discuss every item on the menu.
I'd be glued to the TV. I'd be like, wait, Matt James doesn't like jalapeno poppers? Like,
oh, God. I don't like jalapeno poppers either. It's gross. Too hard to eat.
So what would your next, you discuss share the shared
plate. Yeah.
Share plate. Okay.
I have to say, this is very old fashioned. I like when the guy orders. I'm just like, thank you. I appreciate that.
This is the most unexpected thing since a spoon into the, the quesadilla or the queso. Hold on. Juliet, because I didn't take you for this type of woman. And this is how hard dating is because, you know, so the waiter comes over. And you say, I'd love to do the mozzarella stick shared. And then he looks at you and goes, I got you. And then,
I don't want to be shushed.
The lady will be having the crab cakes and I'll be having, like, you want that to happen?
No, not
okay.
Like that.
I need a further explanation.
But like, I don't have to make the decision when we're like weighing a few different options. Like, oh, you like this? I like that. And I just like when there's like a definitive like, okay, so let's do this. And I'll be like, cool, that sounds great.
That's the more 2021 version of what I just
did.
Like, you're right.
Treat me like your property.
Yeah,
I'm looking to give you my dowry.
And the lady will be having a salad, as they should. Yeah, like what?
I just like when there's some decisions made. You know,
no, I get it. You want it's like it is.
Let's not dance around it. Someone just choose and let's move on.
Let's not dance around it. It's also like it shows assertiveness. There's a firmness
also,
to it.
Yeah,
I get it. There's a sexiness to it.
Exactly. And I like to eat almost everything, so it's fine.
I always like that's my opening line. I eat it all. I'm in.
What appetizer do I not want to have? Like the list is very short. Very, very, very short.
Oh, I mean, I can't be the first one that ever says it, but I remember I tweeted something out like there should be a restaurant called Cocktail Hour where they just keep every hour, just keep bringing it out.
Yes,
just
of course.
Pass around hors d'oeuvres. Keep
all
it going.
Apps.
A
all
dim
apps.
Sum of all bar mitzvah cocktail hour foods.
You said dim sum. My mind just went straight to soup dumplings, my favorite meal. So
really? Soup dumplings is your favorite meal?
I think so. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. And like the thing that I miss the most from in-restaurant eating, and I hope to have soon, is soup dumplings. They just don't deliver well. And a really good soup dumpling is like just absolutely incredible.
I had soup dumplings in Shanghai.
Oh my God, you did?
I did. I did shows in Shanghai. And I did stand up there.
Cooler than the south of France.
It was a little, not, you know, listen, we all have our summering that we do. But that was an experience because I didn't know there were so many different kinds. And I didn't know Shanghai was the home of soup dumplings.
Xiaolong Bao, man. It's the best. It's
absolutely
really
delicious. Yeah.
It's probably the top thing I've been missing about Los Angeles is the soup dumplings from Din Tai Fung. It's the best.
So what's your Chinese takeout order? Like what? So you're not getting soup dumplings, but what's coming home?
I have a really embarrassing thing that I love.
I can't wait to hear it.
Egg drop soup.
That's not embarrassing. I love egg drop soup.
I've never met another person who's like, yeah, I'd love that.
Oh my God.
No.
With a good cracker in it when they give you the crackers.
So good.
Oh, love egg drop. It's actually also one of the healthier ones,
yes,
surprisingly.
It is. I mean, I love beef with broccoli. I love a chow fun. I like a chicken with broccoli, a lo mein. I mean, like, again, the list of things I won't eat at a Chinese food restaurant, very short. I love it.
I'm obsessed with Chinese food. My family's obsessed with Chinese food every Sunday night.
What's your go-to spot?
Oh, I can't do it. New York has not been... New York is a tough Chinese food takeout town because there's so many options and you don't know which one. And then you forget the one that you liked. And I do like Empire.
Okay. I don't know that place? No.
Hold on. Empire Walk. Is that what it's called?
It's like, how many places in New York are called Empire? Like at least 1,000.
I
really like the Bao on St. Mark's. They have really good soup dumplings. I don't know, man. I just love Chinese food. I miss it.
I love it so much. I'm a big fried rice guy. I love fried rice.
Yeah,
I mean,
of course.
How about when they Japanese steakhouse? When you go to like with a cooktop place?
Yeah, like a Benihana. That's good.
That is my favorite meal of all. Like we had an email come in, like red flag deal breaker. They bring you to Benihana, and I was like, that is like my perfect.
What do you mean we had an email come in?
On the podcast, it was like asking.
Oh, I see. Thought you were like in 1998. I've received an email.
The bird flew in with the pigeon brought over word from the troops. We play this game called Red Flag Deal Breaker, and it's like everything's going perfect except this one thing happens. And a woman wrote in, he brings you to Benihana. And I was like, that is my perfect date. Like, that is my perfect experience. Like, making fun of the other people at the table, having the fried rice. It's great.
This is totally an aside. This entire podcast has been an aside. I was just talking with my camp friends, and about 20 years ago next week, we, as a group, I was like, guys, my friend just reminded me, my coworkers reminded me, Amanda, shout out to Jam Session, next week is a 20-year anniversary of the release of the Bridget Jones movie. Do you guys remember 20 years ago when we went to Benihana for dinner and then saw Bridget Jones? And like, literally, I don't talk about Benihana often. And this just happened yesterday. So isn't that funny? Yeah.
That's the way the world works. These things do tend to happen.
Is that funny? I don't know. Maybe that was a bad story.
I don't think so. I like the camp friends part of it as a camp person myself. So I'm always that's always an endearing thing to hear.
Jared, we haven't talked about something major, which is that
let's do it.
Reality Steve tweeted that Matt and Rachel, Rachel Kirk Connell, were together right now in New York City.
So I had heard that
that Reality Steve said it, or you separately heard they were together?
Just via like Instagram.
Oh,
like,
I see. Okay.
Seeing a tweet.
So you don't have any inside sources. Got it.
No inside sources.
Nor I.
What do you feel about that?
I feel in no way surprised. He seemed really hurting when that was going on. And I don't know. I think the pressure of the show probably made it impossible. Like when the flame was like white hot on them, it was probably impossible for them to date. I don't know. Like, I do hope that she could change and learn and grow. And if he feels comfortable with her, I guess, I don't know, give it a shot. I don't know. It's really tricky. I don't know, but I'm not surprised, I guess.
I'm not surprised especially because I think when you leave the show, there's a pressure of like, if you stay together after the show, you are still under the eyes of Bachelor Nation of like, we need to see this get to the end. Like, we need to see this get to a marriage. So I think a lot of the pressure is taken off. Like,
need to see them eat queso comfortably on camera.
Exactly. But it is weird that like Bachelor Nation feels a need to be like paid off, you know, like they need payoff. And it's like, so they're like, I think a lot of these guys, and look at Claire and Dale, like, they break up. Now the eyes come off of them. They get back together. We don't take it as, it's not Bachelor Nations anymore. So it never surprises me when they get back together or they hang out afterwards, because they're hanging out. No one's going, when's the wedding? They're going, oh, they're like, we don't know.
We're trying this out. We're seeing how we feel about each other. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I just want to like see them out and about. I'm like, can you guys stick around? So maybe I can like see you on the street or something. Are you staying at Matt's apartment? We all know where he lives because the Instagram's about it all the time. So I hope he doesn't actually live there. I know. I hope he has like a second apartment or something, because otherwise he must get like a lot of stalkers. Okay. I think we should end with an actual Bachelor question.
Let's do it.
If the past five leads, Matt, Tayshia, Claire, Peter, Hannah B, were bagels, which bagels would they be?
I'm so happy you did this one. I saw this one and I was like, I hope to God.
Absolutely had to. Tayshia's obviously a blueberry bagel. We'll just take that off the table. There's no other way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Claire, what would you say for Claire?
Poppy seed.
Huh. I was going to go with salt.
Oh, I like yours better. I was thinking poppy seed because it's like gets in your teeth and kind of annoying.
I was going to go with salt because it's like kind of a very acquired taste. A salt bagel. Not everyone likes that.
That's a very nice way of saying it. I give to you. I think yours is a better choice.
Peter, I'm going to go with cinnamon raisin.
Really? Why is that?
Because I don't like cinnamon raisin bagels. And I feel like there's like, it's like accepted in the bagel world, but I don't like them. And Peter, I feel like, is similarly. I'm just like, I don't really get you, dude.
Peter is a plain mini bagel that you would never buy. You know how they have those mini bagels at some places?
Yes, H&H has a great mini bagel on the Upper West Side.
Just a plain mini bagel. You're like, that's not enough. I don't even want that. It's just not doing anything for me. And I'd really just rather eat the parent to the mini bagel. I'd rather watch Barbara on a season of The Bachelor than him. So I got a plain mini bagel.
Hannah Brown? That's a toughie.
That's a tough one, because it's interesting. Like, I talk on stage about The Bachelor. I'll do like 10 minutes of material about it because like people come because they like my Bachelor stuff. And it's always fun to do material about it. But I used to do a joke about Hannah B dumping Peter after the windmill. I would talk about it. But you have to, there's a lot of setup involved in explaining. So there's Peter. And then when you mention Peter's name, doesn't matter what city I was in, it was like you said Haman. Everyone's like, ah, boo, boo. Like, people can't hear Peter's name and not boo. Like, people just genuinely are not a fan. Hannah B was 50-50. It was either, that's my queen, I love her, or, so it's hard to get a read on how I even feel about her. Like, I don't not like her. Like, but I'm not like jonesing for more Hannah B on TV.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
That's like a sesame seed bagel to me, where I'm just sort of like, it's sort of like not, it's a variation on plain. Like, if you don't have plain and you really like plain bagels, choose sesame. That's my recommendation to you. And I feel like it's kind of divisive. Like, some people love sesame seed and some people are just like, don't care for it. No thanks.
Also, here's another thing about sesame seed. It needs to be toasted to be delicious.
Yes.
And I think Hannah B probably needs something around her to be, to, mm-hmm. for me to want.
She needs that hot Tyler action. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Lastly, Matt. What kind of bagel is Matt?
Ah.
It's hard. I would say that Matt is a gluten-free bagel that I would never buy.
Really?
I just feel like he's so healthy, so he's gluten-free. Although he does like Bagel Pub. He's a big Bagel Pub guy. I don't know.
I would say he's a garlic bagel.
Why?
Because it's a bagel that I'm like, should I get the garlic? I think that'd be good. Like, because it is delicious. Like, there's no, but I never experienced it. Like, in the same way, we never really got to experience the real Matt James, it feels like, because his season was just co-opted by so many other things. I feel like I've never really experienced a garlic bagel because I'm always like, I'll get it next time. You know what I mean?
It's like, oh, there's an onion. I'll just get that instead.
Exactly.
I mean this with love because I like Einstein bagels. Matt kind of reminds me of like the best bagel sandwich you get at an Einstein bagels. It's just like a little bit of his own brand. And I love Einstein bagels. I went to it a lot in college.
I love the cutter.
Yeah, it's great.
Remember the little conveyor belt thing?
Yes, yeah. It's fantastic. It's a great place. So I say it with love. Great question, Nicole, from our Facebook
that is a good
group.
Question.
Really appreciated it. Jared, really appreciated you doing this. Thank you so much. I feel like I shared a lot more about myself than I usually do. So thank you so much for taking us to this place. Check out Jared on the J-Train podcast. And you're also on the Betches Bachelor podcast now, right?
The Bachelor. I've joined them for their podcast and we've had a good time this season. But yeah, I'm on Instagram at Jared Freedom. Starting to do some shows, socially distanced shows around the city again. So
cool.
That's fun. No, it's always a blast talking to you. We got to meet in person. We have to have a drink or something.
Sounds great.
And this is, when does this come out? I know that's like, the lamest podcast.
In like 2 hours.
I'm going to be on Long Island this weekend doing shows. If anyone's looking to talk bagels, that's
check out Jared Freed this weekend on Long Island talking bagels. He knows his audience, people. I'll be back next week.